Another significant trauma symptom that many survivors develop is agoraphobia, the fear of going out in crowds, being in lines, or traveling in public transport, or being in small spaces where escape won't be easy. Why? Because as survivors, we have survived an extreme loss of control, and the idea of having no control whatsoever over the environment freaks us out, creeps us out. We feel extremely vulnerable, which is why I have seen many survivors and worked with so many survivors who for months did not want to go out, did not want to explore the world, did not want to become a part of the, you know, the bigger picture. Many of them refrain from even driving their own car. Have you experienced agoraphobia, the fear of going out and being in crowds and so on? If yes, drop your experiences in the comments below and also mention what helped you the most in the process of your recovery. Who knows, you may end up helping so many people. Hi, I am Danish, a narcissistic abuse recovery professional. This is yet another episode on narcissistic abuse trauma. Today we are going to talk about agoraphobia, a trauma symptom that prevents survivors from thriving. If that sounds interesting and you're eager to learn more, please make sure to subscribe before we begin, because as I always say, your subscription to the channel helps spread awareness about narcissistic abuse. When you are in a narcissistic relationship, what is the biggest thing that you lose and they gain? Control. You lose control over yourself, over your choices, your emotions, even your thinking. You're forced to think their way. You're forced to see your reality their way. How? Through gaslighting and extreme manipulation. It's like your world is turned upside down, especially your internal world, and that triggers a big crisis in you. You do not know right from wrong. Everything gets mixed up to the point of questioning every single thing that you think and say, because you don't know if that is what is supposed to be said because of the narcissist's chronic doubt, the doubt they have put in your head. So what does all of that lead to? Extreme anxiety, not just any anxiety, existential anxiety. You are striving to survive every single second spent in the narcissistic relationship, even outside of it. Think of going out and think of being vulnerable at the mercy of other people's treatment, because you do not know who could hurt you like the narcissist. And that takes away, that destroys your capability to trust in humans in general. Almost every survivor you will meet, including yourself, will say the same thing. It's extremely hard for me to trust. I can't trust people. Why wouldn't it be difficult for you to trust when you have been betrayed in the most painful way? When you have experienced the worst kind of betrayal known to mankind, that might sound an exaggeration, but think of all of that in terms of betrayal right from the beginning until the very end, because the person that you fell in love with never existed. I say that again and again. Isn't that betrayal? Everything was about them. Everything was about gaining supply from you. Everything was about using you for their selfish needs and desires. They kept lying to you, even when not verbally lying to you. So what was it? Nothing. It was a situationship. Even it applies to narcissistic parents as well. So if you are a child to a narcissistic parent, your whole life, I'm sorry to say, was a lie right from the beginning, including mine. So isn't that the biggest betrayal known to mankind? I think it is. All of that is extremely important for me to mention to explain agoraphobia in the context of narcissistic abuse. Agoraphobia in general may have many causes, multiple origins, but in this case, the origin is the total loss of trust in people and self. When you go out there, when you do these things in public, you do not know how and when you will be attacked and what is going to happen next. That's why you are constantly scanning people, their facial expressions, waiting for them to snap out at you, waiting for something to go wrong. And that creates massive panic. Some survivors, especially in the beginning, you know, just when they start recovery and when they start coming out of their places, have major and massive panic attacks as a reaction to that level of anxiety. A couple of years back, I was working with a person who had extreme social anxiety, the worst form of agoraphobia. For almost 8 months, they did not leave their home at all because they did not know how the world is going to treat them and when they are going to get triggered, because everything out there was a trigger. For the first time, when they left and they tried to drive their car, which they were used to doing for years, but now after 8-9 months, they had a massive, massive panic attack. And I was on a phone call with them for almost 2 hours because shaking, shivering, couldn't speak, hands and feet turned totally cold, lifeless, extreme dissociation. Guess what? They left the car and said, I'm not going to do this ever again. This is too much for me. I don't know what to do. But with my constant and consistent support and with their family support, they tried it one more time. This time, they successfully drove their car and it was a victory. We celebrated it. Then the triggering happened in the party, in the gathering they went to. Every person was talking about the survivor's marriage and asking questions like, why did it happen? Why did you leave? And so on. As you may know, that happens. And that was another attack of the same anxiety, the same panic. So the window of tolerance slowly, slowly increases because it was quite narrow. For them, it took at least 3 to 4 months to get to a place where public gatherings and going out were no longer a trigger. Another unique aspect of agoraphobia in survivors of narcissistic abuse is the fear of getting triggered, because people, places, things, smells, colors, all are associated with the narcissist. Not only the negative memories, because in typical PTSD, we talk about negative flashbacks, but in CPTSD caused by narcissistic abuse, there is something called positive flashbacks, remembering and recalling all the nice times spent with the narcissist, and then the spiraling, rumination, self-doubt. Was he truly a narcissist? Was she truly that bad? And so on. You know how it goes. And that is crippling. That is debilitating. That's beyond perplexing to handle. It may be diagnosed as social anxiety disorder, sad, but it is not that. It is the extreme intolerance of your nervous system. It is the overwhelm that you get hit with. It is all the trauma, unresolved trauma in your body and brain and the deepest chambers of your heart that just pops up and comes up and hits you at once when you go out there. Another aspect of the same fear can be difficulty meeting new people, or being afraid of making new friends or meeting old friends, which may manifest as social awkwardness or shyness. I've been that way for almost all my life. I thought I was socially awkward or shy, but in hindsight, I was traumatized and afraid of the reactions of the people that I was experiencing, that I was getting exposed to. I didn't know what their real intentions were. I didn't know how they are going to treat me, given everybody that I had met so far, especially in my family, had treated me like a doormat. If you are struggling with agoraphobia, my biggest advice and suggestion would be to take it slowly. But you have to just get out there. You have to regulate your nervous system. I think this is the millionth time I'm saying this. You have to get in touch with your body, because that was the miracle for me. That was the key to such a shift, such a huge shift in my overall personality. That was the entry to a deeper form of healing that I'm still going through. So you have to know what's going on in there, because for me, when I started doing it, I noticed my hands would sweat. I would have sensations around this area, this area, and you know, I would shake a little bit, and then I started calming myself down. Relax, I'm safe now. I'm not being attacked. It's okay to be here. We call it exposure therapy. When you are exposed to a perceived threat or a trigger while remaining in a relaxed body, so that the trauma gets integrated and you move through that situation and the trauma response is completed. That's what I did. It's a part of somatic experiencing, I would say, maintaining that calm state, being there for yourself, like the parent who never was there for you, you know, like the partner who never was there for you. Being the person you always needed to be there, and becoming that heals really big wounds. You have to work out your tolerance. You have to know what your limits are, and then you have to follow the same. You have to know how much stress can you tolerate at a given time, and what is the possibility here? How much can you push yourself without getting re-traumatized? You have to know that by getting in touch with your body. That will tell you what's going on, and it will give you the most accurate feedback. So by doing that, you have to keep increasing the threshold by exposing yourself to these triggers while maintaining a calm state, and eventually your social anxiety will be gone. At least that is what helped me. What you can also do is you can try tapping. You might have heard about that. Emotional freedom technique or havening. These are two trauma healing modalities, really, really powerful and evidence-based. While you are out there getting triggered, you can tap because it can be done anytime. Havening is simply rubbing your arms like that because this creates delta waves in your brain. This is a psychosensory therapeutic modality that I am a certified practitioner of. So it's really, really, really powerful. You can do this and instantly you'll find yourself relaxing, calming down, basically regulating and grounding yourself is the key to overcome the fear. Avoidance of trauma triggers is not the best approach to heal them because what you avoid shows up in different ways. It remains unhealed. You may momentarily be distracted or you may not have to face the stress, but it still remains unresolved and it comes up in other different ways. That was it for today's episode. I hope you found it insightful. If you did, please make sure to leave a comment, to like, subscribe, and share this with others. I'll talk with you in the next one. Until then, as always, let the healing begin and continue.